Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. Welcome to Cardano Live. I have Brandon from CardStarter. He is the Chief Operating Officer. He is with us here today on this happy, lovely Friday afternoon, Friday evening, maybe Friday morning, depending on where in the world you are located. Hello, Brandon. Thank you for coming on Cardano Live. How are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, doing phenomenal, Rick. Thanks so much for having me on here. Always love doing these things and always love watching the show. So happy to be here.
All right. Well, pleasure to have you for this update. We had Autash and Ash on about a month and a half, almost 2 months ago, and they gave us the initial introduction to CardStarter. So you're here to give us an update. You'll give us a review of what was covered before, update on the latest information, and you can feel free to tell us a little bit about yourself. So what do you got for us today, Brandon?
Absolutely. I guess I can introduce myself for anybody who doesn't know me. So as Rick mentioned, I'm the COO of CardStarter, one of the founding team members. So I've been there since the inception of it. My entry into blockchain, I always love telling people about this because we all come from eclectic backgrounds and find our way into crypto in one way or another. I've been involved in the crypto space since about 2016 and, you know, got to ride the rush of the last bull market. And it was throughout the bear market that I actually really got immersed. I started with, you know, arbitrage trading and scalp trading the way down. And as I got deeper and deeper, I sort of flipped over to being more of an investor, really actually looking at the fundamentals of projects, building out my network of people who were involved in their own projects as well. And people I've known for a long time, people on the CardStarter team, watching them start to, you know, build out some of their own projects and continue to build projects, and have, you know, found myself with this opportunity to be involved in the capacity that I've always wanted to in a crypto project. And, you know, since CardStarter's inception earlier this year, we've been going full steam ahead and it's been quite a wild ride so far. I'm looking forward to doing a bit of a recap with you guys here on kind of where we've been, what's occurred to date and what we have to look forward to as well.
Yeah, thank you for coming on to do that. And I like the history you described there. It's funny, what we learned during a bear market to me felt like it was different than what I learned during the bull side of the market. During the bear market, you kind of really look deep into what these projects are doing. Then when things go really hot and bull, I think the general feeling out there is, yay, we're on a joyride, you know. That's just my observation. But yeah, I learned a lot during the bear market as well. So what do you got for us, the updates you're going to bring to the table? What would you like to talk about next?
For sure. I think some of the biggest things that we're focused on at CardStarter is Cardano itself. You know, we're a Cardano-oriented launchpad, right? So Cardano is our bread and butter. It's what we're focused on all the time. And, you know, everybody knows what general market sentiment is like right now. And we're kind of watching and waiting and we're at the edge of our seats, curious if we're in some level of consolidation followed by another leg up, which is still how I'm feeling. But one of the things that excites me is that regardless of whatever general market sentiment is doing, the closer we get to ADA mainnet, I think we'll be a little bit impervious or we'll be able to weather the storm. I think the Cardano ecosystem is going to be a little bit siloed from general market sentiment. If general market sentiment is doing phenomenally, then it'll be hyper explosive. But even if it's not, there's going to be so many projects that want to build on Cardano. When we're already seeing it, we're seeing an influx of people going through the Plutus Pioneers program, more and more devs getting well-versed in Haskell, more projects that are considering Cardano for the primary network that they want to build on. And that to us is a big indicator that as we get closer to ADA mainnet, projects that want to build in their respective category and have that first mover advantage on Cardano, they're not going to wait for general market sentiment to be absolutely perfect. Again, I'm hopeful that it's going to be what we want, but even if it's not, these projects are going to launch anyways. So we're going to see a ton of DeFi projects and ton of projects in different categories getting prepared to launch on Cardano. And we're going to see communities that aren't going to wait either. The whole Cardano community has been growing for years, and we're reaching kind of this pinnacle and this turning point where the use case is going to be there and we're going to have this community of early backers kind of getting involved in these projects. So I think we're going to see this explosive DeFi boom on Cardano, regardless of what's going on with the rest of the market. And so that's what's exciting us the most. I think this is the place to be looking right now for what's next in terms of smart contract functionality in the crypto space. And it's phenomenal to look forward to.
Yeah, it is. I am also seeing the same excitement in people who want to see DeFi coming to Cardano. They know you've launched cards on Ethereum. It's running on Uniswap, right? People are actually able to acquire the Ethereum side at this point with the with the cards tokens on Uniswap, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually something that I'd love to address. I see regularly, you know, we have an awesome community of supporters, and our team really prides ourselves on being very engaged with the community. And so people that have been with us from the start have had months for us to be able to relay to them the fine tuned details of why it is that we do what we do and why it is that we don't do what we don't do. But people outside of our community maybe don't have that level of visibility. And some of the things that I see from members outside of our community is, if you're a Cardano launchpad, why are you launching on ERC-20? And it ties back into what I said earlier, right? There's projects that are going to launch on Cardano anyways, and they want that first mover advantage. CardStarter, earlier in 2021, we were thinking, okay, exactly what do we want to do? We know we want to be involved in the Cardano ecosystem. How do we do that without waiting for mainnet? You know, are we just going to try and figure out the projects that we want to launch, wait for mainnet, and then try and rush and clamor over the other projects that are going to be competing in the same space, the same classifications of projects, rather than trying to ideate a bunch of different projects and be spread thin as a team? We realized that we wanted to be enablers, and that's really what we are, as enablers, both for projects and our community itself. And I'll get deeper into that in a second, but we want to enable projects to be able to do the community bootstrapping that allows them to get people interested in their project concept early. But we also want to be able to provide projects these preliminary funds for development. And by launching on ERC-20, the infrastructure's there. You know, we still love Ethereum, but we do think that things are going to get better than Ethereum. And Ethereum provided that infrastructure to allow us to get this early backing, get these preliminary funds, so these projects can get a head start on development. And by the time ADA mainnet goes live, they're going to be able to actually deploy a functional product, right? You know, they don't have to wait. They're going to have that first mover advantage. And I think that's so important. So, you know, I see people wonder all the time, like, why ERC-20? Is it just a cash grab? Like, are you guys just launching projects that just, you know, just want money? Well, no, it's like they have teams, and they need to hire developers, and they need to hash out their ideas and close the gap between ideation and being market ready. And that's what we're doing right now, and why we are on ERC-20. Yeah, as soon as smart contracts go live, CardStarter's got a bridge, is building out a bridge. So we are going to all of our liquidity, our entire community is going to do, you know, the great migration over to Cardano. Any of the projects that are incubated by us will be able to utilize that bridge as well. And, other projects that have launched through us that are going to be Cardano native are going to be making that transition too. So yeah, it's, it's a stopgap, right? But it's an important one, because first mover advantage is everything in crypto.
Yes, it is important. And I want to let viewers know that it's important to understand there are risks associated with DeFi. There's the risk associated with when you buy in, number could go down, not financial advice. When you buy in, number could go up. And DeFi has some very, it can be very volatile, and it can also be very stable. So DeFi has some different characteristics than just typically following a chart. Now, I don't do TA charts. There are a lot of YouTube channels that do, so check out the ones that do technical analysis, you know, find someone who's reliable or financial advisor. But just be alert that there are risks associated with DeFi. But I kind of like the idea of CardStarter's approach And also there are other approaches. So their approach is launch on Ethereum and then migrate to Cardano. Some projects and teams are taking the approach of launch on both, connect both. And some teams are taking the approach of wait until smart contracts are on Cardano and then launch natively on Cardano. So there's at least three different types of approaches. I'm sure there's more. This is your particular approach. I think what helps with this particular approach is it will get the people who are experienced in DeFi already that's been running on Ethereum for a couple of years and then migrate that experience into Cardano and bring that experience with them. Okay. But this is, so there's pros and cons to each of the types of approaches.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we do have some projects that launch through us that are going to have, you know, multi-chain functionality, multi-chain interoperability, right? So they may not be fully Cardano native, but some of them are and are doing that, you know, like I say, launching on ERC20, making that transition. I saw in the chat, somebody asked, why not BSV versus Ethereum? It's something that we seriously contemplated as a team. Charles was a founding member of Ethereum, and from a bridge standpoint, it's just easier to execute. So it was a pretty easy decision for us, and we decided to gravitate away from BSC itself. So just wanted to address that thought.
Okay, no, that's fair enough that you can address, you know, what's on the BSC chain. We will take questions a little bit later on. There's one question in the chat. It's a good question. But I do want to kind of get this one out of the way. Feuds, thank you, Feuds, for the question. Please ask what they think about Sunday Swap. And so, Feuds, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to ask one team to comment on another team's project and efforts. People ask me that on Twitter. They've taken a... Thank you for the question, though. I mean, it's a fair statement, but I'm not going to ask one team to comment on another team.
I am actually happy. I am happy to do that. And we think well of Sunday Swap. So
All right, so go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, and that's why I'm happy to do that. So I'll maybe jumping ahead a little bit. I did want to cover CSwap. Most people in our community are aware that we're building a DEX. One of the there's a ton of variables that go into whether or not a DEX is going to be successful. One of the ones that we feel is very important is the amount of liquidity that resides on a DEX. CardStarter has a massive advantage because as the top Cardano launch pad, the most active with the most IDOs that we've launched so far and the most IDOs in the pipeline, 50% of the liquidity of the projects listing through CardStarter are going to reside and end up on CardSwap. That means that by default, once Cardano launches, CardSwap, it has a high likelihood of being a top contender because we are going to have the most liquidity of any Cardano DEX. And liquidity means that you're not going to see massive price slippages when somebody places a large order. There's going to be enough liquidity to manage high levels of trading volume. And there's also going to be a lot of trade pairs, so you can get access to the projects that you want. Another major variable is community strength. And Sunday Swap has some amazing partnerships and some amazing stuff they're doing for community growth. So we're fans of everybody who's building the Cardano ecosystem up. We really are. And Sunday Swap, I would say, is also a top contender for being one of the powerful DEXs on Cardano. So yeah, happy to share my idea there.
Amen. All right. Well, thanks, Brandon. That was very gentlemanlike of you. That was a very tactful and diplomatic response to the question. Because, you know, you think what I end up seeing on social media is people took an image. Someone took an image and compared CardStarter and Occam. And then they annotated the image and then posted it. And they asked me a question. Hey, what do you think of this image? And my response to that image is, I don't have any comment because some random guy took a random picture with random annotations and randomly posted it on the internet. I have no comment. But yeah. You obviously, so, you know, just I don't reply to stuff like that. I have nothing to say about it because you never know if it's a competitor who's like playing a game, right?
Yeah.
So I don't want to get dragged into these games that competitors play because on Cardano Live, I don't accept tokens for people to come on here. I don't do giveaways and I don't do advertisements, right? So I try to be biased because I know how biased I really am. So there was a comment. Check this out, Brandon. This is kind of funny. This was a good comment from Movie Mon Studio. He says, Mark Cuban even labeled Ava's hype. Look what happened to him. So what happened with Mark Cuban yesterday is he started playing a game. He started playing a DeFi game that had to do with Iron something. I can't remember the coin.
Titan Network, I think.
Yeah. So it had to do with Titan and Iron. And one of them is a stable coin. One of them is the coin that allows it to be a stable coin and it operates on a DeFi. And he basically got rugged, right? Mm-hmm. So someone pump and dumped the coin and he lost value in it. And then he went on Twitter and started crying to the world about how we need regulation. Okay. Yeah. And John D reminded me in chat there, he said it was Titan. So yeah, I don't want to distract with Mark Cuban and his antics of getting rugged like many people do sometimes. It just happens.
I was interested to see, I didn't see that he, anything about regulation, and I'm sure he, probably felt that way, but I did see one post from Mark Cuban where he said, I guess you live and you learn. And honestly, if you're very active in DeFi, chances are you may have been rug pulled at one point, especially if you're getting into projects early. That actually segues well into one of the major differentiators, I think, for Card Starter. We and kind of why we created what we created. The project itself, the model of a launch pad wasn't innovative at the time. The model of a launch pad for Cardano was a bit innovative because nobody else had done it yet or launched a successful one. But regardless of the fact that there were other launch pads out there, we saw some gaps that we felt needed to be closed, right? Some areas of opportunity for improvement. Some of them were too decentralized and there was projects launching through them that would end up rug pulling, or some of them would have very, very low allocations. Maybe you get a chance of a chance at a $10 or $20 allocation. And so two of the things that we've wanted to focus on are, sticking close to the Cardano ethos of equity, and our tiers over time have continued to evolve to make sure there is that equity. The barrier to entry now with our next IDO is going to be the lowest it's ever been. Cards is at a price where the lowest tier is somewhat attainable for the average retail investor. And we moved away from a lottery system on the lower side to guaranteed allocations. So that equity is important to us. People can start getting some skin in the game without having to, remortgage their house kind of thing. And one thing I'd recommend, guys, never go all in on any asset. Never do that. I see people that overextend themselves. Be safe out there. But then on the flip side of that, the safety thing, still, I think we're all in crypto because we've seen a lot of problems with the traditional financial system. So we're looking at somewhere else. But within the alternative financial system of crypto and DeFi, there's still some problems. Again, going back to these rug pulls, we wanted to make it as safe as possible for people. One of the things that we've done to do that is we have insurance at Card Starter. So anybody that participates in an IDO through our platform, if they back a project, if that project due to some level of team negligence, if they have an exploitation, or if they don't actually ever deploy on Cardano or follow their roadmap items, the people who participate in the IDO through our platform get refunded. It's as simple as we have an insurance pool that we've been building up to be able to provide that safety net for people. But deeper than that, we have a really rigorous vetting system for the projects that launch through us. We have this advantage of an increased level of visibility into the multitude of variables that are important to a project and its launch and its long-term sustained health and its early and sustained market health. There's so many variables, and we're able to see this large sample size of those variables. So we're able to kind of see the consistent trends of what is typically present in a project that's going to do well and what's not. And so for the projects launching through us, we have a fairly formulaic approach. And that formula is always evolving, guys. Like the market conditions influence it. General market trends influence it. hype influences it. But there's a lot of things that stay very consistent. And these are things that our team, many of which have been involved in the space of crypto for close to a decade at this point. These are the things that our team reviews and analyzes deeply. So in out of the 15 to 20 projects we interview a week, only one or two of them end up making it through the funnel, the ones that we feel have that recipe for success. So again, trying to solve some of the biggest issues in DeFi of something might look good on the surface, but it might end up rugging anyways. But we try to eliminate a lot of that risk by really taking the time and the effort to get deep into the fundamentals of these projects.
Do you have a lot of developers coming to you and saying, hey, we want to launch with you guys, or we want to use your funding to launch? What kind of activity are you seeing from developers?
Yeah. And as I mentioned, there's about 15 to 20 projects, I would say, that we have introductory interviews with on a weekly basis. And there's a massive spectrum that they reside on, right? There's some on one end of the spectrum, you've got people who've just got an idea and they're way too far out. On the other end of the spectrum, we've got people who are market ready, like they just need an IDO platform and they're essentially ready to go. They've got all of their branding done. Their team is large. They've got their smart contracts all built out. Like they're ready to go. They just want to leverage Card Starter for some community bootstrapping, the partnership opportunities that we present to the projects that launch through us, et cetera. And then throughout the middle of the spectrum, there's projects that need some level of gap closed. And depending on the project concept itself and the amount of gap that needs to be closed, Card Starter will either take them on for acceleration or incubation, or refer them to resources that might help them close the gap if they're a little too far away from our formula. But we're seeing more and more of an influx of these people that are seriously considering Cardano and wanting to build on it, right? So we're seeing a ramp up for sure.
Okay. All right. So I want to let viewers know there are links in the description down below. That'll get you Card Starter contact information. It'll lead you to their Twitter, Telegram. So if you want to contact Card Starter, if you want to learn more about it, check out the links in the description down below. There's a link to the Card Starter website that also explains the roadmap. If you want to learn more about the roadmap, the link will also take you to the Uniswap platform, to where the cards are already available, the tokens are available. And Brandon, are you good with, if I go over to chat and start bringing in questions, are mm-hmm. you ready? We could transition to a little bit of an AMA for the users of cards and Card Starter who would like to ask questions. Are you good with that now?
Yeah, I would love that. Bring them on in.
Well, Jimbo has an easy one to start us off with. Thank you, Jimbo. He's asking about the CSwap supply. He heard it's 1 billion. Do you know what the supply of CSwap is?
I'm not going to share the supply quite yet. Is a bit of a moving goalpost right now, and it's based off of the number of people in the CSwap, or people that are mining through cards, ETH, Giro ETH, or Charlie ETH LP. People who are mining CSwap through our platform is a bit of a dynamic amount, and the amount of CSwap being mined is also dynamic. We are getting close to sort of reverse engineering what will be the right tokenomics. So I know you guys have been incredibly patient on looking for the token metrics there, because that's going to give you some relative understanding of what all of this CSwap that you guys have been mining is the potential of it, what percentage of the overall token supply that you guys hold by having mined for the last few weeks. So I know you want that number. We're close to being able to start sharing more information there, but we're not quite there.
Okay. Yeah, I think people are interested to know, because that will help them determine the value and mm-hmm. how much they should hold and have ready to trade and stuff like that. So that's a pretty good question. Probably answer that in the coming weeks and months, I assume.
Yeah, as soon as possible, we should be able to get some info out there to you guys. And again, I appreciate your patience. I know that's an important one for you guys. Just know that that we're formatting it in a way that it's quite beneficial for the Card Starter community. There's going to be a lot of value built out there for you guys.
Okay. Yeah, and hopefully it avoids those super high swings like what happened with Titan and Iron the other day that got Mark Cuban in a little bit of a pickle there. So yeah. There's a question from Hugh Davies, and Hugh asks, the community has been looking forward to hearing from the team when they're going to unlock the initial investor allocations. Do they have a date for everyone yet? Now, before I don't want to put you on the seat with a hot lamp over your head answering this question, just so viewers know, dates are, it's really tough because I watched Charles Hoskinson get in a bind with putting out dates. Or he would say, well, we're going to shoot for this, you know, Q1, but it might be Q2. And then next thing you know, it turns into you promised. So, Brandon, how would you respond to that?
Yeah, no problem. What I will, rather than announce the date or give you a date right now, what I will say is in the coming days, that date is going to be announced and that event will be soon. And Rick, for your visibility, what we've done due to current market conditions is give our investors, our round one, round two participants a couple options, one of which is a lengthened vesting schedule to, you know, help with the sustainability of the project. And the support from our round one, round two participants has been amazing. On the flip side of that, though, it's got to be give and take. So we did offer the opportunity for round one, round two investors to get some of those tokens up front, or more of those tokens up front. In fact, all of them, but that comes at a give back of a 50% burn, or 40% of those are going to be burnt, removed from circulation forever. So a little bit of a deflationary event. And then 10% of those tokens are actually redistributed to all of the folks that are staking cards within our platform. So that event is going to be a big event. So I understand why people want to know the date. Within the next few days, we're going to get the date out to you guys, and it will be quite soon. We're not going to delay it too long. The R1, R2 folks want to get those tokens. You guys want to know when it's going to happen, because it's going to create some really good opportunities for you guys as well.
Okay, so we're looking at probably by July as opposed to longer.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. We're looking at not weeks, not months. Like we're hopefully looking at days here.
Okay, that'll be posted. You guys going to post that on Twitter?
We'll
put share it in Telegram.
We'll write an article on Medium that'll be shared on Twitter. It'll be shared on all of our Telegram channels. So as long as you're following our channels, you'll be able to see that.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that. Hugh, I hope that answers your question as best as possible up to this point. There's a link down below to CardStarter's Medium channel. You can check it out there and see the articles that they have posted there as well. There was a question from Movimon Studio, and that person asks, what do you look for in an IDO for CAP? So the initial DEX offering for CAP.
Yeah. So CAP, for anybody who doesn't know, is the Cards Accelerator Program. So projects that we get a little involved in a little bit of a deeper fashion with, even a step further than that, we do incubate some projects. So we have an amazing in-house content team. We have amazing development resources we can refer people to. So some projects need development. Cards Accelerator Program, some projects just need a little bit of advisory services to button things up and may need just, you know, some level of support filling their seed in their private. We help them generate funds through our partners, actual value add partners, you know, not just folks who fund for the sake of making a quick flip at the expense of the retail investor. But I digress a little bit. What we look for in a project that is going to launch through the Cards Accelerator Program, there's, like I said, so many variables, tons of them, but some of the most important ones are the team itself. What is their background? What are their credentials? Have they worked on a project before? Do they know what they're getting themselves into? We speak, you know, I mentioned we have kind of this 20 of these preliminary interview calls a week. Projects that move forward to the next stage, we probably have 10, 15 long calls with a project and looking at their tokenomics, looking at their pitch decks, the utility of their token, auditing their smart contracts. And we have numerous calls with projects before we get to the point where we are ready to announce them to the community. It's a very in-depth and involved process. We get to learn a lot about the team by doing that, how fast moving are they? Are they capable of quick turnaround? Because this space requires engagement from teams that it doesn't quite correlate with a lot of traditional industries. You know, even fast-paced software companies, which is kind of my background. I come from enterprise software before moving into blockchain. Even that feels a little bit slow moving compared to this. So yeah, the team itself is a big one. Like culture-wise, do we work well with them? Are they engaged? Are they fast moving? Do they have quick turnaround times? And are they malleable? If we feel that there's something that's just not quite right, are they open to interpretation and open to a conversation on adjusting things to, you know, again, for the, it's all with the goal of the betterment of the project. Are they open to taking feedback? And again, those variables, some of the most important ones are the tokenomics. Are they doing a bloated raise? Are they going to end up on the market with a massive initial market cap, which leads to a low likelihood of early market success? Or are they open to, you know, only generating the funds that they need and doing a bit more of a smaller raise, which enables them to list with a lower market cap? Being a bit more conservative, again, leads to that higher likelihood of success in the market. If they are Cardano, are going to be Cardano native, do they have some level of token utility? What stage of development are they at? Are they close to some minimum viable product that's going to be functional, usable before Cardano mainnet? What's the reward? What's the incentive for holding the token before Cardano mainnet? All of these things are things that we look at. Their branding, like it's just we try to look at all of the details, as many as possible, to make sure that they fit the mold.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like you've done a pretty thorough look at them. Something that I often bring up on this channel is, you know, do you look at what if this token becomes a security and they're not registered as a security? Or if they are a security, did they register as a security? Or are they exempt because they're not in the United States, for example? Because you guys operate primarily out of Canada, right?
Yeah, primarily out of Canada. Yeah,
and then the business is registered in Canada. The card start.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've done with the majority of the projects that have launched through us have just ensured that they are utility tokens. If there are some projects that are coming up that may have a little bit more regulation and compliance, but they have already overcome those hurdles, I would say. And that's a major thing for us, is that we follow compliance at all times. So for IDO participants, if they are residing in the U.S., you know, unfortunately, the SEC makes it challenging for people from the U.S. to participate if they're not an accredited investor. If somebody holds accredited investor status, they can participate in the IDO. So compliance, making sure that we uphold regulatory standards is really important to us. Some of the things that have changed recently for the people in the U.S., the SEC now allows people to essentially take a course to become an accredited investor, and you don't have to have those massive barriers to entry of, you know, a million plus of net worth and 200K per year of annual income, right? So you can now go through getting those certifications with a little bit of elbow grease. So that may provide the opportunity for some people to be able to kind of start participating. But in terms of classification of project, all of the projects that we're working with, we look thoroughly to make sure that they would be classified as a utility token rather than a securities token. And if they are somewhere outside of a utility token, making sure that they have all the compliance standards necessary before we're able to expose them to the community.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know, because the actual developer deploying the token has a certain level of due diligence they need to conduct to make sure that if they are a security and they want to sell in the United States, that they register it. And if they, that they are not, that they very clearly define how they are not, right? So that's important to like American investors. I'm not a security expert, but platforms like Uniswap, the SEC said, no, that's a security because people are buying into it with the expectation of an increase in value, and all these, you know, criteria have been met. But then what do you do after, you know, Uniswap was already deployed? Well, I don't know. There's Americans holding it. What are they going to do? Give it back?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But not that I have any, but I was like, no, this stuff's worth too much. I'm going to hold on to it.
Yeah. Refund them. Right. If that's what ends up happening, that's, you got to make sure you got, do your due diligence. Like you say, you got to watch for all of the details. And we have, we're lucky. We have some really amazing advisors, numerous advisors, and we get multiple opinions at all times on everything that we're doing, to make sure that, not only ourselves, but our community is safe as well. That's the most important piece, is that our community are safe, right?
Yeah, that's good. And like looking out for your community. And so I got one last question. We'll hit a few more of the viewers' questions and we'll call it a Friday. How's that sound?
That's perfect. And there is, before we do jump off, there's just one thing I want to drop and let people know about, but yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. We just make sure we tackle it before we wrap up for the day.
Okay. What did you find the most challenging part about building Card Starter? Was it building the community? Was it building the technology? Was it building the liquidity? What was most challenging and what was most rewarding?
The pace at which we started was wild for our team. Still at this point, the majority of team leadership is working, you know, 12 to 16 hour days, and our family and friends are very understanding while we do this. But we've recognized the opportunity and just the concept and the technology behind it. We've got a really amazing team of developers that have created this awesome platform in a short time frame, but then it's caused this wild influx of projects that want to know us and utilize the platform and have us make referrals to our network of marketing influencers and or partnership opportunities, and it resulted in us needing to kind of catch up to ourselves a little bit, right? And I think as things have slowed down a little bit in the market, you know, we still have this massive queue of IDOs that are ready to launch. There's 8 people that are market ready, but they are taking a very calculated approach to pulling the trigger on launch dates because they want to set themselves up for success, right? You know, if you launch when things aren't ideal in the market, and again, I'll say the closer we get to A to mainnet, we're going to be kind of immune to the storm of potential market turmoil. But if you launch when things are not ideal in the market, you essentially have to start building the house brick by brick. But if you launch when conditions are looking favorable, it's like having the house airdropped onto your property, fully built, ready to use kind of thing. So they're, you know, more comfortable right from the get-go, and they're able to have that head start in terms of community sentiment, the project, and it's just I know that's a big thing for a lot of people. They're wondering kind of where are we at with IDOs releasing, and there's so many that are market ready. You guys have seen the image we've released. There's 8 projects that are good to go, but they are just all kind of at the edge of their seat, waiting and ready to pull the trigger when things look ideal. And I think we're getting quite close to that.
Yeah. So they're timing the market, which there were several viewer questions related to that. Are they watching the market? And I mean, that's fair enough. Lesson learned. Traxia is a good example. There's a lot of lessons to be learned. That was an ERC-20 token that tried to launch on Cardano in 2018. And that was an epic fail because, for one thing, the smart contract technology was nowhere near ready. And then they launched at the end of a bull run when it was just starting to turn bear, and that kind of that was a disaster. That, like, the value just plummeted. So even the people who bought, no one wanted to buy back into it. It's like, I'm not buying that stuff. I mean, that's the general sentiment I got from it. So anyway, yeah. So people do have to time the market. It has to make sense. It's good to hear that there's 8 projects ready to launch on the IDO. That is fantastic. It looks like you guys definitely attracted both a community audience and a community of developers who are ready to launch. So that was the challenging part that I got from you, is that time, how much time you spend
catching up to your family, catching up to ourselves, and
getting that tempo going, right?
We're lucky that the team has grown a lot. ton of full-time folks on the Card Starter team now, but including some additional kind of contractors and part-time folks, there's 25 plus people contributing to this project now, right? And so now that's allowed us to have a little bit more capacity, coupled with the market conditions being the way they are. It's allowed us to really take a step back. And we're building heavily behind the scenes. We now have time to, rather than just needing to execute the next thing because the market was moving fast enough and we had to be able to execute it because that's what the community and that's what the projects wanting to launch through us wanted. We now have this real opportunity to revise and build and optimize and make things better behind the scenes, which is what our team is doing. Although things may have slowed down just a touch in the market, now our team has the ability to focus a little bit more and go a little bit deeper into building. And that's been a big thing that we've been, haven't really had the opportunity to do.
Okay. You did have a few things launch, wasn't it? Jiro. One of the comments from David was from Jiro and Charlie and a couple others. What else launched?
We had so many.
Those were your incubator programs, right?
Yeah, Charlie and Jiro were incubated, so very heavy involvement from the Card Starter team. And I always say that rather than just kind of launching projects that are destined for Cardano, what's important to us is being heavily involved in projects that are going to be the fundamental building blocks of the Cardano ecosystem, right? We have the opportunity to have all of these projects network with, integrate with one another, and create this initial ecosystem that's so strong that supports and props each other up. And the Card Starter community is kind of right at the center of it. The Card Starter community is going to have access to these fundamental building blocks that that will be able to, you know, have long-term health and success. Everybody needs an oracle. Charlie's a really good option for that, right? Lots of projects use multiple oracles, right? For even further decentralization and confirmation of data. Now, that's a really good example, though, of the fact that we're building projects that are going to be around for years to come, and that we'll have the opportunity to work with one another.
Okay. All right, let's touch on a few more questions, wrap it up. Thank you, Brandon, for powering through it, especially with working long hours. It's great to get questions and inputs from the community. There's a lot there. You probably have people monitoring the chat so you can follow up with some of the technical questions. Boyd Baumgartner asks, how will our LP be converted to Cardano tokens while in contract? Do you have a technical answer for that?
I don't have a technical answer for that. In the Telegram, tag CoinWriter, our lead dev, he'll be able to share a little bit more insight there for you. I think there's a few ways that we might approach it, but yeah, he'll be able to kind of detail the steps of the migration of that for you guys.
Yeah, there was Atash had touched on it on the first podcast. He said you'll be able to send certain tokens into the website and then it will return it back. But the technical details are important because you don't want them to go to the wrong place. So
yeah, on the LP side of thing is going to be a little bit different. So I just want to make sure that I don't misstep there. So
okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So check the Telegram. There's a link to that Telegram down below. There's also a link to the cardstarter.io website down below where you can check the frequently asked questions there. There's a lot of answers to the common questions. And then this one from Ezekiel Smigel, we touched on this earlier. Are the launches being delayed now due to poor market conditions? I took that as a yes, pretty much. Or they're trying to time it better so that, you know, it's beneficial. If you launch while things are all dropping, then, you know, you're looking at it falling off a cliff. Not financial advice, but that's likely what will happen.
Yeah.
Is that a fair?
Yeah. Again, you know, we've got eight projects that have now, we've finalized kind of all of the fundamental details. And we've got some that have essentially said, confirmed that they want to launch in you know, the first, second, third week of July. But there are some that are even kind of closer to being ready to go that are just taking a calculated approach, determining whether or not they're going to be ready to list the registration dates for next week or before the end of June kind of thing. So July is going to be a good month kind of regardless. But there are folks that are just kind of taking this calculated approach going, hey, can we pull the trigger this week or next week? So just, people are being very considerate of multiple variables when it comes to the health of their project.
Okay. I think that's a fair answer for now. Sometimes it's a wait and see game. I don't like that, but I practice patience. That's what I try to do to mitigate whenever I'm trying to see what's going to happen, what's going to come out next. MovieMon Studio asks, do you know when the next IDO will be? I got the roadmap pulled up. I don't see it on there.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we just touched on, right, is that there's a bunch that are ready to go, and they're taking a very calculated approach to just pulling the trigger on confirming dates. And that's my dog, guys, sorry. When somebody is ready to confirm a date, it may be, you know, you may have a 2 to 3 days notice before the 2 to 3 registration window. So you guys will have ample time. But there's some that are ready to go. It's just, again, we want to make sure the conditions are good, because it not only affects the project, its long-term potential health, but it affects you guys in terms of the early market performance as well. You're going to be happier if you see the IDO perform well when it lists. That being said, again, the closer we get to ADA mainnet, the more kind of impervious we'll be to some of these market conditions. And I always recommend that people widen their scope, right? Like, whatever a project does on day one, you know, we maybe set a precedent that was a little too high. Charlie and Jiro both kind of hit 100x, right? And you know, some projects later on that did, you know, 10, 20x and found a floor at 5 to 10x weren't viewed as successes in comparison. But the recommendation I'd make is widen the scope, because what's kind of happening right now might not be as important as what happens once these guys have their marketing partnership funnels really cranked up, and they're, again, building that house brick by brick, building the project up. And 3 months down the road, as ADA mainnet gets closer, things are going to be lively for these projects in terms of their fundamentals and their functionality. And that's what we're looking forward to, is long-term involvement in projects that really have a lot going on, not just, you know, the day they launch, but into their lifespan, right?
Yeah. You know, we've been going 50 minutes now. Okay. And it's Friday afternoon. So I think on that note, we're going to wrap it up, not to cause an abrupt halt. But I just want to remind the viewers, be alert to everything, you know, Brandon just said with DeFi. Make sure you understand it well, okay? Because people can make a lot, like you said, 100x, 20x, and then consider 5x to be not so much. But that money does come from somewhere, and there will be some that are not 5x and 20x projects. So just be alert to that there is risk. There is risk involved when you start getting into the DeFi game. It's interesting. It's got a lot of hype coming from Ethereum. There is a lot of hype about DeFi on Ethereum. I did see some statistics where about 1.2% of all Ethereum addresses have actually touched DeFi. There are a lot of Ethereum addresses. So it's interesting to have DeFi. It's great to have DeFi coming to Cardano. It'll be really cool to see what kind of projects launch through that. But if you get in there to play the casino, just be alert that some people make big and some people lose big. That's just the way it is. Not financial advice. That's just a fact.
crypto is volatile. I think we've all entered at the top and seen losses at one point or another. It's pretty much inevitable. So be careful. Don't overextend yourself, for sure. The one thing, and I know, sorry to keep extending this, the one thing I wanted to mention before we do wrap up, we want to get the community engaged in a different capacity than we have before. Next week, we are shooting to host a Clubhouse event. We'll be giving away some cards tokens at that event. So maybe giving people an opportunity to start being engaged in the community, maybe utilize the utility of the token if they haven't been involved in the community before, and get a chance to just chat with us as well. So we're shooting for Tuesday, I believe. We'll confirm a date with you guys in our Telegram and make an announcement about that. But we'd love to have you all there.
Awesome. Man, that sounds good. So possible Clubhouse on Tuesday. And I see Ash had commented in the chat there about the Clubhouse. So we're looking for maybe a Tuesday Clubhouse, and we're going to wrap it up for the day. It's been a great Friday. Thank you, Brandon, for coming on Cardano Live. Feel free to come back anytime, man, if you got more updates in the future. And once the smart contracts on Cardano start coming up, there's going to be a lot of activity. There's going to be a lot of excitement. Mm-hmm. So if you want to hop back over here at Cardano Live as things begin to ramp up with Cardano smart contracts in August and September, I'd look forward to having you come back if you'd like. Okay, sound good?
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, my friend. It's been a pleasure.
You bet. And don't forget, this weekend is Father's Day. So if you are a father, you know a father, you have a father, whatever the case may be, a big shout out to the fathers out there for Father's Day coming up this weekend. So everyone, take care. Have a great Friday. Bye-bye.